Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda. If you enjoy and benefit from listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free with you, and your donation ensures that we are always able to do so. Each podcast we produce has tens of thousands of listeners. So the opportunity for gaining immense reward by supporting this effort is endless, inshallah. You never know who will be able to benefit from your contributions and donations. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikael Ahmed Smith here, letting you know that today's podcast was sponsored by Helping Hand for Relief and Development. Helping Hand is a leading Muslim nonprofit organization that has a top star rating by Charity Navigator. Over the years, I've had the privilege of working with them, and they've helped people from over 80 different countries around the world. They've worked for disaster relief and emergency relief in Palestine, Myanmar, and many other countries, Kenya, Somalia, Kashmir, Pakistan, and Haiti. To learn more and to be involved in helping the lives of other people, visit their website at hhrd.org.
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, continuing with our study of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tafsirul Qur'an. In the previous session, we talked about the passage from Surah Al-Baqarah in that the surah is basically named after. It's the incident involving the cow. And we talked about that whole scenario and that whole situation. And one of the wisdoms and one of the significance, one of the things that's significant about the surah being named after that particular incident and that passage and that situation with Bani Israel was that one experience completely encapsulated and demonstrated, it's a microcosm of the overall predicament of Bani Israel. We've been reading about it since earlier on in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been telling us about event after event, incident after incident, where they rebelled, they were ungrateful. First and foremost, actually, I should start with the fact that they were beneficiaries of so much mercy and blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rescued them, Allah saved them from tyranny and from oppression. And then secondly, they witnessed profound miracles, right? The staff of Moses, the splitting of the sea, and so on and so forth. And then thirdly, in spite of having received such profound blessings, in spite of having witnessed such remarkable miracles, they still consistently challenged the authority of Musa alayhi salam. They disobeyed orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. They were constantly nitpicking on every little thing. They were constantly complaining. They were never satisfied with what they were given. And they continuously just behaved very disrespectfully. And they were very difficult to deal with. In one word, if I could put it, that they were very difficult. They were being very challenging. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been telling us about so many of these instances, and the previous one that we talked about, where they went to Musa alayhi salam with a situation and asked him to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide some kind of solution for their problem. And when Musa alayhi salam presents them with the solution, then they come back once again and start being difficult and challenging again. And they start questioning his authority and they start making a mockery and a joke out of the entire situation. And so we talked about all of that. The ayah that we're going to talk about today, ayah number 74, is now reflecting back on all of the above. Everything that we've read about, from the tyranny that they were in, how they were released from that, all the miracles of Moses, the splitting of the sea, the coming down of manna salwa, food from the heavens, clouds shading them, And them worshiping a calf while Musa alayhi salam, the golden calf, an idol while Musa alayhi salam was away, them persecuting and trying to slander the Prophet Harun alayhi salam in the absence of Musa alayhi salam, him coming back, and then them insisting that we want to plead our own case in front of God, and they go there, and once again they behave disrespectfully, them demanding we want to see God, we want to look God in the face, and once again being punished for saying that, but again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing them yet another chance, another opportunity. They ask Musa alayhi salam that we need some kind of we need a place that we can call our own. We want a home for ourselves. And when he tells them that you need to enter into here and fight these people and Allah will grant you victory, then they say, no, that's fine. You and your Lord can go. We're not going to deal with this. When they're told, enter into the sacred house of God, Masjid Aqsa, Baytul Muqaddas, and ask Allah for forgiveness, they behave disrespectfully and make a mockery of the situation time and time and time again. And after all of everything we've talked about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse number 74 tells us exactly what transpired with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and as we always do here in these tafsir classes, I'll read the Arabic of the verse, I'll then share with you what a translator has said, what a translator has written, and then inshallah we'll go into a further discussion about the meaning of the verse and what are some of the gems and the lessons and the reflections that we can basically draw from there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 74, surah number 2, surah al-Baqarah, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. The translator writes for verse number 74, even after all that, your hearts became as hard as rocks, or even harder. For there are rocks from which streams spring out, and some from which water comes when they split open, and others which fall down in awe of God. He is not unaware of what you do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular ayah, and this ayah is a very remarkable ayah. It contains a lot of very powerfully beautiful and profound metaphors and examples. So I'd like to kind of deconstruct that. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is, thumma, then after all that. Thumma, the word thumma in the Arabic language, talks about sequence. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, even after everything that happened, everything that transpired, what did you do? قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. You still became hard-hearted. Your hearts, they hardened. Now, what does that exactly mean? What does it mean for the heart to be hard or to become hardened? So this is a figure of speech, an expression in the Arabic language. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about very frequently within the Quran. First and foremost, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Mercy for all of mankind. Mercy. And there's a warmth, there's a warmth and a comfort in the word mercy. That's why the womb of the mother is called Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It was only by the grace of God that you were so soft and gentle with them. So there's a softness of the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah describes the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with, a softness of the heart. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he calls him Ra'ufun Rahimun. We talked about Rahim, Rahma, but he describes him as Ra'uf, very compassionate. Once again, very accommodating, very understanding, very compassionate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, furthermore, when He describes the hearts of the believers within the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the hearts of the believers, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. The believers are those people, when God is mentioned, their hearts shake and tremble. They're not hard. They're not immovable objects. They're not tough in that way. Tough, not in the sense that they don't have strength, but they're not like fixed. They're not calcified. They're not hard, immovable. Where there's no movement, there's no life, there's nothing. But rather Allah says that their hearts shake and tremble. Allah says in the Quran. Not only that, but that's why the scholars of hadith, whenever they talk about things that soften your heart and bring you closer to Allah, there are chapters of hadith in the books of hadith and the collections of hadith that are called the raqa'iq, right? And that's why they're often translated as heart softeners. Things that break the mold and the crust around your heart and bring life to your heart. That's why the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The example of someone who remembers God and one who does not remember God is like the living and the dead. One heart is alive, it's moving. And the other heart is dead. It's molded, it's dried up, it's crusted. And furthermore, even beyond that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran talks about, and whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the analogy of the heart, and especially when a heart is dried up, when a heart is hardened, when a heart does not have spiritual life to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran in Surah Al-Hadid. أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. That has the time not come that your أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that has the time not come for the believers that their hearts would shake and tremble for the remembrance of God and because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, the Qur'an. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the other side of that. That the heart that shakes and trembles and moves and softens because of the name of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, the Qur'an, the kalam, the speech of Allah. But then Allah tells us what is the flip side of that, the opposite of that, the other side of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the other side of that is اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. God revives the earth after it has died. And similarly, the heart can become crusted and dried and dead, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring it back to life. The Prophet of Allah, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. The heart becoming completely covered in this darkness. The Prophet ﷺ talked about, it's like a rust, when something gets rusted. And how you try to remove the rust from something. The Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, وَمَا جِلَاءُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. How do we remove that covering, that darkness, that rust on the heart? And the Prophet ﷺ said, the remembrance of God. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that removes it. So this hardening of the heart that the Quran is talking about, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in numerous places. I mentioned one in Surah Al-Hadid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in another place in the Quran, فَبِمَا نَقَضِهِمْ مِيثَاقَهُمْ لَعَنَّاهُمْ. When they violated their covenant, their oath, their agreement with Allah, لَعَنَّاهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we cursed them. وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. And we hardened their hearts. We made their hearts hard. Another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse that I was reciting before, أَلَمْ يَأْنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Do not end up being, the believers should always make sure, they do not make the mistake that the nations before them made. What mistake did they make? فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ. They became complacent and eventually apathetic about their deen and their religion. And they pushed it off. It was no longer a priority for them. And what happened? فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. And their hearts became sealed off and hardened. And it lost all of its luster. It lost all of its light. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, very profoundly, is talking about this hardness of the heart. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ Then your hearts became hardened. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكْ After all that. And that's why I started off by listing off. Look at all the things they went through. Everything they witnessed. Everything that transpired. Some of the things that are not even mentioned here in Surah Al-Baqarah that are mentioned other places in the Qur'an that we haven't talked about yet. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in Surah Al-A'raf and other places, but in Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how when Fir'aun challenged Musa alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam preached to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun challenged Musa alayhi salam, that I reject what you're saying, and everything that you're calling a miracle, I don't accept it as a miracle, etc., etc. And he sent out scouts into his kingdom to gather together the best magicians that they could find. Because basically he was sticking with the story, the propaganda, that Moses is a magician. And they gathered together hundreds, if not thousands of magicians. Some narrations say 70,000. Allah knows best. But they gathered together a bunch of magicians. And when they gathered them together, and finally the moment came for the showdown, where basically he wanted all of his magicians to challenge and defeat Moses. And Musa alayhi salam told them, you go first. And they threw down their sticks and it was an optical illusion. It looked like the sticks were moving. And Musa alayhi salam said, Bismillah, and threw down his staff as Allah commanded him to. فَإِذَا هِيَ ثُعْبَانٌ مُبِينٌ And it became a huge serpent. And it went, and فَإِذَا هِيَ تَلْقَفُ مَا يَأْفِكُونَ And it swallowed up everything that they had thrown down. And all the magicians, when they saw this, when they witnessed this, they all fell down in sujood, in prostration before Allah. And they said, "Amanna bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa." We believe in the God of Harun and Moses, Aaron and Moses. They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Fir'aun threatened them. And they said, we don't care. We are not going to give up our faith. We have found the truth. And they gave their lives for what they believed in. Bani Israel saw all of that, witnessed all of that. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you still allowed your heart to become hardened even after everything else that you had been through. أو أشد قسوة Or even worse than that. Even worse than that. Your hearts became harder than rock. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ Excuse me, I missed the word. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ And then your hearts became like stones. أو أشد قسوة Or even worse than that, they became even harder than stones. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is analogizing it to a rock and a stone. Because again, that's a very, very hard thing. It doesn't have any give. It doesn't have any kind of like life in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that as an example. But then he says, أَوَشَدُّ قَسْوَى Or it's even worse than that. This is very similar to in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ That they لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ They have hearts, but they do not reflect on the truth with their hearts. They have eyes, but they do not see the truth with their eyes. They have the ability to hear, but they do not hear the truth. That's the one thing they don't hear. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ These people are like cattle. These people are like livestock. They're like cattle, unintelligent creatures. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ Rather, they are even more misguided. Similarly here to that style, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, your hearts became so hardened that they became like stones. In fact, indeed, actually, they became even worse than stone. They became even worse than stone. What does that exactly mean? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the verse, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us three examples. He says there are three examples that Allah gives us of stone. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ There are some stones that a stream in a river comes bursting through there. So there are some stones that are hard. They're hard. But they still have enough give that if water comes behind it, then that water bursts out of it. It gives way to the water. That even that stone understands that this water, it's necessary. This water, it's important. And the water gets through that stone. And then the creation of God is able to benefit from that water. A whole spring comes gushing forth. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ. But there are some stones, they don't have that much give, where a whole stream comes bursting through. There are some stones, rather, they have a little bit of give. So what happens is that the water drips or pushes up against it, flows against it, drips on it for a very, very, very long time. And it slowly, slowly, slowly wears away that stone, that rock. Until finally, one day, it wears it all the way through and it cracks open. يَشَّقَّقُ. That stone eventually cracks. And then that water that was dripping onto the rock, that starts dripping through. And when that water starts dripping through, then you see something beautiful starting to grow there. Then you see something beautiful starting to grow there. So some stones, they have a lot of give. The stream comes bursting through. Some stones don't have as much give. Over time, eventually, after enough pressure, they will give in. They will give in. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا. But then there are some stones. لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That they won't give in. The water won't come bursting through. The water can drip against it forever and it won't cut through. But they will fall out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will fall out of the fear of Allah. What that means, out of the fear of Allah, the scholars have explained it a number of ways, but how some of the mufassirun explain it, how some of the scholars of tafsir have explained it, is that what that means is that they are submitted to the command of Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the earth the command to shake, zalzala, earthquake, then those stones, they move. And they move from their place. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands a strong wind to blow and gust, it would even blow rocks and stones away from their place. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the earth to move or the mountains to move and there's an avalanche and those stones, they come falling down from their place. They are submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about throughout the Qur'an. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. And we'll talk more about it. But this is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about all throughout the Qur'an. قال تأتينا طائعين. When the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, إئتيا طوعا أو كرها. Either come willingly or come unwillingly. But you will come. You will obey Allah's command. That the heavens and the earth said, قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. They said, we come willingly. We come willingly. We shall not resist the command of our Lord. So even those dry, hard stones that have no life in them, even they are submitted to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention these three things? Because what did Allah say? قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Even after everything you went through, your hearts became hardened. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ. And now they're like stone. So maybe some advice will be given, like that first stone that the streams comes bursting out of. Some advice will be given, and you'll take that advice, and it will crack the shell around your heart. Some of you, like the second type of stone, that water dripped away for so long, for so, so long, and eventually it was able to crack through. Some of you will just receive the reminder and the message over and over and over and over again, and maybe somewhere far down the road, finally it'll make a dent. And then some will not give in at all. But ultimately, at some point, even if he be begrudgingly, they'll somehow submit at some level. Yeah, okay. I should listen to Allah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did say, "O ashaddu qaswa." But some of you, your hearts become harder than rock. Harder than stone, more lifeless than stone. Where you don't even have it within you that when you witness a majestic, powerful, magnificent display of Allah's power, God's majesty and greatness, even that does not humble you in the least bit. And that's a tragedy. That is a terrible, terrible tragedy. A truly tragic fate. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes by saying, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And God is not unaware. Allah is not unaware of everything it is that you're doing. And what that basically means is that this hardness of the heart, right? Think about it. Let me give you an example. If there is something like a plant, and it's not taken care of, and it dies, and it withers, and it dries up. Sure, you look at it in the dried up state, and somebody says, "Oh my God, what happened to the plant?" But it didn't just happen magically to the plant. You didn't just wake up in the morning and the plant just looked like that. There was a story there. There's a timeline there. That you ignored it, and then you neglected it, and then you just left it there, and then eventually you just didn't even like see it anymore. It just blended into the background, and you didn't care at all anymore. And now it died. And now it is in that particular state that you see it in. That's why Allah is saying, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Don't you dare at the end of this come and then cry, and then beg, and then plead, and then complain. I don't know how this happened to my heart. Why did this happen? I don't know how it happened. I don't understand how it happened. No, no, no. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very aware of everything that you are doing. That in this moment right now, you're neglecting. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, you ignore it. And then eventually it won't mean anything to you. And then when the angel of death comes and you're leaving this world, then at that time you want to complain, Rabbir ji'un. Oh Allah, send me back, I need another opportunity. I don't know what happened, I don't understand what happened, how did all of this happen? No. Not at all. That's not true. You know exactly how you got here. You ignored it, then you neglected it, then you forgot about it, and then it just didn't even exist to you anymore. So Allah is aware, watching what you are doing right now. And this is the proof and the evidence that will be used against you. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. May Allah protect us all. So there are a few things that I wanted to kind of highlight and talk about and share as some of the reflections that we can take from this. First and foremost, we talked about the analogy of the stone and exactly how that reflects to the hearts. The other thing I wanted to talk about is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, multiple places in the Quran, when He talks about the condition of the heart, and He talks about the human heart, how the human heart has the potential to be so soft and so gracious and so generous and so beautiful, so full of light, nur, nurul iman, the light of faith, the illumination of faith. رَجُلٌ نَوَّرَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said about a man, he asked him a question. He said, كَيْفَ أَصْبَحْتِ يَا حَارِثَ. How are you doing this morning, O Haritha? And he said, أَصْبَحْتُ مُؤْمِنًا حَقًّا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I am a true believer this morning, O Messenger of God. He says, لِكُلِّ إِيمَانٍ حَقِيقَةٌ فَمَا حَقِيقَةُ إِيمَانِكَ. That for every faith there is a reality, there is a realization, a practical implementation. What is the reality of your faith? How does your faith manifest for you? And he explained, he said, أَضْمَأْتُ نَهَارِي وَأَسْهَرْتُ لَيْلِي. He says that I fast during the day and I pray during the night. And he said, when I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I feel that I am standing before my Lord. And I can hear the laughter and the enjoyment of the people of paradise. And it's as if I can imagine the screams and the torments of the people in hell. That's become my reality. I live with this kind of like you know, this kind of mindset, an akhirah-based mindset. The Prophet ﷺ tapped him on the chest and he said, "Arafta falzam." You have recognized the truth. Now hold on to this truth. And then as the young man walked away, the Prophet ﷺ pointed at him and he said, "Rajulun nawwara Allahu qalbahu." This is a man and God has illuminated his heart. Allah has filled his heart with light. So that's the potential of the human being. Ahsani taqweem. Karramna bani Adam. But there is a flip side to the human being, and Allah talks to us about this in the Quran, that the human heart and the human being also has the ability to be dark and to be lifeless and to be hard and stubborn and neglectful and very difficult. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us this comparison and this contrast with the rest of His creation. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah number 72, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna aradna al-amanata ala samawati wal-ardi wal-jibali." We offered this responsibility of the word of God, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning it, reading it, practicing it, understanding it, living by it, propagating it, the responsibility of the Quran, of the deen, of Islam. We offered this responsibility to the heavens, to the earth, and to the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا. They refused to take on that responsibility. وَأَشْفَقَنَا مِنْهَا. And they humbled themselves and they said, "We are not capable and we are not worthy." وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ. And the human being takes it on and has no qualms about it. Takes it on and then neglects it. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the human being has the ability to be so ignorant and so oppressive and evil. In another place in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the magnificence of the Qur'an, the majesty of the word of Allah, the weight, the sheer weight and the magnitude of the speech of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. That had we sent this Qur'an down upon the biggest mountain you can imagine. And actually, linguistically, there's something very profound. The word Jabal is also Ismul Jins. So some scholars say it means a whole mountain range. Imagine the Himalayas. Imagine the Rockies in Colorado. Like if we were to send down this Qur'an upon an entire mountain range, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا. You would see it humbled in, under the weight of the greatness of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مُتَصَدِّعًا. And then it would completely start to break apart and fall apart. مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. From the fear of the greatness of its Lord. Out of the fear of not living up to the responsibility that their Lord, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon the mountain. But once again, you see the human being. In the verse of the Quran in Surah Al-Furqan, this verse gets me every single time. Surah number 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the Prophet says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. That the messenger says, "My Lord, my people have completely abandoned this Qur'an." Completely abandoned this Qur'an. That's what the human being does. And so this is a contrast Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us constantly throughout the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayah tells us, وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware of what you do, that it is your deeds and your actions in the moment that ultimately decide your fate, how your heart will end up. فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Zilzal, Surah 99, that whoever does even the smallest amount of good will see the benefit of it. It'll keep that rust off the heart. It'll crack that crust around the heart. It'll keep that heart alive and full of light. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And whoever will do even the slightest bit of evil will see the effect of that. That when you give in to the darkness, when you give in to the evil, that will crush the heart and that will further pull the heart back into lifelessness and into darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that can the example of two people ever be the same? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the person that أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا, somebody whose heart is dead, فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ, and then we give it life. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا, and we give it light. We give it life, and then we give it light. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ, and he's able to walk with that light through life. The Qur'an is guiding him. The life of the Prophet ﷺ is guiding him. His Islam is guiding him. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَمْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. Is that person ever similar? Can that person ever be similar to the person who is drowning in darkness? فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا, with no concern, does not even care about leaving the darkness. Those two people and their situations are not comparable at all. Not comparable at all. And furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, it's a hadith from the book of Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تكثروا الكلام بغير ذكر الله. Do not speak excessively without interjecting the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that sometimes can be as simple as knowing how to say, Alhamdulillah, Insha'Allah, Masha'Allah, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah. Just as simple as that. You're about to eat something, Bismillah. You get done eating something, Alhamdulillah. You enter your home with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayral mawlaji wa khayral makhraj. When you exit your home, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah. You're about to enter the restroom, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. You leave the restroom, ghufranak. Right? Simple as that. لا تكثروا الكلام بغير ذكر الله فإن كثرة الكلام بغير ذكر الله قسوة للقلب. Because speaking excessively, particularly about things that do not concern you, things you have no idea about, problematic things where you make trouble, and you don't have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life, in your tongue, in your day, in your schedule, then what happens? قَسْوَةً لِلْقَلْبِ. That hardens the heart. That takes the life and the light away from a person's heart. وَإِنَّ أَبَعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْقَلْبُ الْقَاسِي. And the person who is the furthest from the mercy of God is the person who has allowed their heart to become hardened, encrusted, and lifeless and without light. In another hadith found in the Musnad of Al-Bazzar, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the Messenger of God, peace and blessings be upon him, said, أَرْبَعَةٌ مِّنَ الشِّقَاءِ. There are four things that are a sign of wretchedness. There are four things that tell you you messed up somewhere in life. You miscalculated the situation. Your life is not going the way it should. There are four things, four signs to look out for. Number one, jumudul ayn. When you no longer have enough compassion, to the point where your eyes are never moved. Not a single tear. Your eyes never well up or tear up for anything. I'm not even talking about the super pious guy who's sitting there reading Quran and he's like crying, you know, just nonstop. I'm talking about nothing. Nothing moves you. There is no emotion. It's just there's like a deadness. That's how you know something's not right. You made a wrong turn around here somewhere. Number two, وَقَسَاءُ الْقَلْبِ. When the heart becomes hardened. Once again, nothing moves the heart, nothing penetrates the heart. You never feel any kind of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not any kind of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gratitude towards God, nothing at all. Number three, وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ. وَطُولُ الْأَمَلِ. You're obsessed with just how long you can make things last. How long you can just keep the party going. That is your obsession. That is the only thing you worry about. وَالْحِرْصُ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا. And you care about money more than anything else in life. You care about money and material things more than family, more than relationships, and more than your deen, your relationship with Allah, your Islam. You care about money and material things more than everything else. Everything else. That these four things, these are things that you need to be very careful and mindful of. Now once again, if someone says, well, if I find myself in that situation, what do I do? If I find myself in this situation, what do I do? How do I break that pattern? How do I break out of that situation? How do I remedy this condition that I find myself in? Then remember where we're reading this. We're reading this in the Quran. Remember the verse from Surah Al-Hadid. Has the time not come for the believers? Don't you want, finally, to be able to feel something when you hear the name of Allah? That when you read the Quran, you want to be moved? Well then what do you need to do? Spend some time remembering Allah. Spend some time reading the Quran. Engaging with the Quran. Remember, وَمَا جِلَاءُهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ جِلَاءُ الْقَلْبِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. The remembrance of Allah. Read the Quran. Pick up the Quran, read the Quran, read the translation of the Quran, think about the Quran, what it's saying, think about its message, listen to a tafsir lecture explaining the meaning of the Quran, play the recitation of the Quran, engage with the Quran, the Book of Allah. You have to. You must. That's step number one. Number two, pray, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, free my heart from this condition. Soften my heart. Allow me to connect to you. Thirdly, the Prophet ﷺ teaches us something. Sahabi came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, I'm finding difficulty in emotionally really engaging and connecting with my worship. And the Prophet of Allah ﷺ, he said, place your hand on the head of the orphan. Place your hand on the head of the orphan. It's an expression in classical Arabic. What that means is show some mercy and compassion. Make yourself aware of the situation of those less fortunate than you, and then show some mercy, empathize, show some compassion, do some good. Help somebody who is less fortunate than you. Those opportunities are plentiful. Those opportunities are everywhere, all around us, all around the world. We just basically have to want to do it. Read the Quran. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clear your heart. Make yourself aware of people less fortunate than you are and then do something to help them. However humble it may be. اتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. The Prophet ﷺ taught us, free yourself, save your soul from the fire of hell. Even if it be with half a date. That if you have one date, split it in half and give half to somebody else. You can give $1, you give $1. You can give 10, you give 10. You can give 100, give 100. Give 1,000, give 1,000. Whatever you're capable of. But help somebody. And this is a way on how we can rectify the condition of our heart. And we cannot end up in this situation. And the last thing that I wanted to say was, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. I want to go back to the beginning of the ayah to conclude the study of the ayah. That part probably shook me the most. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ. Your hearts became hardened even after all that. Everything that you went through, your hearts still became hardened. That understand that being surrounded by something is not the same thing as experiencing it. Being just having like fixtures and symbols within our life doesn't necessarily... I can have all these books on these shelves and lining my walls, but I could not know how to read a single one of them. I could not know a single word that is found in those books. I could have zero knowledge. I could have zero knowledge and have hundreds and thousands of books. That it, me having 1,000 books on my wall doesn't mean I have a lot of knowledge. That's a silly example, but we understand that. We know that. I can't hang a stethoscope around my neck and then call myself a doctor. I'm not going to be able to help anybody. We understand that. We know that. Right? My son could put on my kufi, but then he couldn't lead the prayer. You wouldn't know what to do. So we understand that. But why do we get that so wrong when it comes to our faith and our iman? Someone's name is Abdullah. MashaAllah, very good. That's excellent. They're born in a Muslim family. Fantastic. Thank Allah. I have a few Islamic frames hanging around my house. I know some of the Islamic lingo. I know all the terminology. Salah, Quran, Ramadan, Hajj. I know the right words to say. I'm familiar with a lot of things. I kind of grew up around the masjid. All that's fine. But none of that means that my heart cannot become hardened. Bani Israel walked on the floor of the ocean. Imagine that. Bani Israel walked hand in hand with Moses, Musa alayhi salam. Bani Israel saw food coming down from the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after all of that, you still let your heart become hardened. Never ever take anything for granted. Do not take your deen for granted. Do not take your Islam for granted. Do not take the Quran for granted. Do not take the Salah for granted. Do not take the remembrance of Allah for granted. Remembrance of Allah for granted. Do not take anything for granted. Ramadan is coming. Do not take Ramadan for granted. Be very careful. Be very mindful. And we always have to stay on top of it. I know that might sound a little fatiguing. I know that might sound a little exhausting. Always, you always got to keep working. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, the very famous story about him. He was on his deathbed and he said, not yet, not yet. His son said, it's okay, father, death will come. You are a very righteous man. Don't worry, everyone has to die. He said, I'm not worried about death coming. He said, shaitan started to whisper in my head, you got away from me. You escaped me. I couldn't get you. And I said, not yet, not yet. I got to keep my guard up. I got to stay on point. I have to keep working until my last breath. And like I was saying, I know that sounds a little bit sometimes overwhelming. But the life of this world is so temporary compared to the eternal life of the hereafter. And for staying on task and continuing to work here, and picking ourselves up every day and working on ourselves every day will bring the eternal bliss, the never-ending happiness, the never-ending blessings of the life of the hereafter and the pleasure of our Lord. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. There is nothing greater, nothing better than the pleasure of our Lord, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with that, inshaAllah, we will conclude the tafsir class here for this week, inshallah. I know that we only covered one ayah, but this is a very, very powerful ayah and verse. And so I wanted to talk about it a little bit more deeply and be able to reflect on it more properly, inshallah. But we will go ahead and conclude with the tafsir class for today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice everything that we've said and heard. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.